Still okay, Kurt?
Are you on?
No, still there.
And for the purposes of entering into a work session on LC 55-1, staff.
Mr. Chair, LC 55-1 creates a task force on studying revenue options, school funding, and accountability, and also creates an advisory council to study the famed subject area.
Paul, hold on. Kurt, can you hear all right?
Yes, I hear fine. Thank
okay,
you.
Good.
The bill goes through and specifies 8 legislative members to the task force, and then specifies 13 members and who selects them for the advisory council. Gives the task force the charge of examining alternative methods of raising revenue, including but not limited to consumption-related taxes, an evaluation of the current property tax system, development of proposals for long-term stable revenue sources to support the K-12 system, and also gives the charge of evaluating school finance and accountability alternatives for management of costs and education funding. The task force is to convene and meet between the effective date, which does have an emergency clause on it, and December 15th of 2002. The primary product will be a report that will be issued to the 72nd Legislative Assembly prior to February 1st of 2003. The task force is directed to meet in each congressional district, so there would be 5 meetings throughout the state and additional meetings as needed. The advisory council shall meet at least 10 times, again between that period of the effective date and December 15th. Both the advisory council and the task force are to be staffed by the Legislative Revenue Office. The Legislative Revenue Office may request assistance from other entities that would provide information. There is a per diem for members who serve on the task force and allowance for expenses. The non-member on the advisory council are not entitled to compensation. There is an appropriation blank in Section 4 for the bill. And as I said earlier, it has an emergency clause.
Thank you, Paul. Any questions for staff? I want you committee members to know that with all the action going on in the building this morning, I'm sure we are the focal point of many TVs, so I would encourage you to be on your best behavior. I have a question. Paul, is there anywhere in here, I know it states that they're to report back, correct me if I'm wrong, by the next legislative session. Okay, so that would be on section
page 2, number 5, section 1.
Number 4.
Present its findings and recommendations to the committees. It does not specify a written report.
That was certainly the intent, Mr. Chair.
You're on the phone.
Oh.
Boy, does this present a dilemma. You know, I think you look better right here.
Good job, Kurt.
I can't hear you now.
No, we can't hear you now. I guess my question is on this. Would this benefit this legislation? This is an if. Is that if the report contained recommendations that would require an election, that we actually set a date for a special election during the session, which could be changed or modified, obviously, by the session, changed or eliminated?
Mr. Chair, isn't this hearing for purposes of just introducing this as a committee bill and getting it to first reading?
It is, but as long as we're here with all this time on our hands, and your point is noted, Representative, but I'd like to ask that question to the committee. What do you think?
Mr. Chair, I think that there's, as opposed to establishing some sort of pre-judged outcome of the committee, that it will, in fact, come up with something that would require voter approval in the state of Oregon, I think that there are probably issues that could be examined right now relative to revenue raising and consumption-related taxes and those kinds of things, which wouldn't necessarily require a general election in the state. We presently have consumption taxes for the purchases or registration of automobiles, for instance, within the state. So I don't know that it would be necessary for us to establish and basically predetermine the outcome would require a general election.
Mr. Chair, if I might also, I think that those of us in the building that have been delving into the issue with school finance have a feel for the complexity of the issue, and I think putting a timeline on it may artificially distort the discussion that needs to take place. And this is tremendously complex, and reworking or adding or subtracting or whatever with the tax structure of the state is also a really complex discussion. And I would hesitate to put a kind of a do-or-die date on this thing for the fear that it would impact the quality of a discussion.
And I would hesitate, I guess, not to put a date on it for fear that it would lazily linger in some place in the middle is probably the appropriate... there is a date in it now for the report.
Right. And there also is a number of meetings that are mandated, or a minimum number that are mandated for the advisory council. And I would say that it's fairly clear here that there's an expectation that the main group will bring recommendations to the next session.
That they can do with as the session directs. I know we are just introducing the LC, but since we've got all of us here and some of us made efforts to get here, I just wonder if there's any other discussion that wants to go on before I take a motion to introduce this.
I did have one other item, and as long as this is already a dash one LC, on page two, subparagraph four, it talks about the meetings, at least one in each congressional district throughout the state, and I have inserted, not less than one such meeting east of the Cascades. Congressional district number two represents about 80% of the mass of the state, and it would certainly be nice if some portion of that was recognized east of the Cascades, where 13.3% of the state resides.
And Mr. Chair, I would say the same thing for Southern Oregon, that I would hope that we could get be well represented in that area of the state, too.
That's the other part of District 2.
Yeah, that we don't care about. So let's just make, two meetings in District 2, one east of the Cascades and one in Southern Oregon.
You got my vote. Representative Schrader, I'm looking at now.
I'm fine with that. The only issue is making sure that it happens. I think as long as we mandate that wouldn't be required in here, then I'm sure the council will be glad to meet at that.
Mr. Chair, if I might bring up another issue related to this, too. There is currently in the final stages of being formed a committee, I believe, that is a subcommittee of Representative Chevalier's Revenue Committee that's charged with there may be some overlap here, and I think we need to have a discussion about where these two committees come together.
Well, they don't. There's no purpose to be served in having both efforts. This subsumes entirely the incipient efforts in the Revenue Committee to do precisely this. So there is no function of maintaining that other effort if this goes forward.
And this, do you feel, has more profile and purpose and
larger goals?
Larger goals, certainly, to reform the tax system. Again, there, yeah, I don't see, there is no relationship between this and what has been started in the Revenue Committee, because this, I don't want to say hijacked, this is totally consumes, yeah, that's right. It overwhelms that effort.
Mr. In your august and highly defined thought process, Representative Shetterly, is this a better vehicle and approach than yours?
Well, I don't, that's hard for me to say. This is certainly more defined in terms of how you created the membership, how it proposes to create the membership, and the meeting schedule, and the places and locations. I think care has to be taken. There have been several members of the education community and business community who have already signed on to the revenue committee effort, who I think would be very valuable to include in this. So I think we'll need to be careful in how we, if we move forward with this, to try to make this perhaps a next step or an augmentation of the effort that's currently in place, rather than going off in some other direction. And you've got a fairly high-level group of people already committed to the revenue committee effort, and they would be very useful people to include in an effort like this.
And is there anything that precludes the merging or marrying of that group to this, as the composition of the group is so defined in this LC?
Well, I guess if you're referring to them as the advisory council, because I don't, yeah, I don't know. I think it can be done. I think you need to be careful how we do it.
Is there anyone from the school community that wants to testify? This is not a command performance. That's an honest question, Ozzie.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Schrader.
The whole idea behind this is to, indeed augment and give a little more credence to some of the efforts that good representative from Dallas and the speaker have tried to get going already. The goal would be to, we've had lots of task forces over the years to look at these types of issues, and the governor had a fairly notable one several years ago, and they came back with, yeah, this is certainly a big issue and pretty difficult, but we can't agree on anything, so we're just going to say, you know, let's go on with the income tax and hopefully create a reserve fund. And, you know, the goal, I think, of this draft at this point in time, and I think there's good reason with the crisis and the paralysis we're seeing on the other side of the building, to really look at one more time, perhaps at the beginning of the new century, do we really need to look at things again? And is there a desire on the part of this body and the electorate outside of this building to come up with a different taxing revenue raising system here in the state of Oregon? We are very, very dependent on the income tax. I think it's very clear to me, I think to probably every single person in this room, in this building, and most people outside the building, that we're way too dependent on our income tax, and that's killing us right now. So is there a desire to reduce that dependency and come up with an alternate revenue source dedicated to the big gorilla of K-12 education, make that system as accountable as we need to make it to be credible with the outside world? Or do we just start cutting budgets? I mean, that's the discussion we're having a little bit right here in special session. I'd suggest to this body and to my august members right here that we need to know that. We need to know that next session. And this has a very high profile group, having the top leaders of our assembly and Senate coming back and kind of guiding this advisory council. I think we would want to build on Representative Shetterly's work. I would anticipate he'd be a member. My thought process was that hopefully the four returning leaders would be members, or at least their top designee. I would assume the Revenue Committee members would make up the rest of the legislative panel, frankly, or someone that at least was interested in that, and that we'd build on the work that the representative has already started, picking top leaders. It's a little different than that. There's a Senate task force, I believe, also proposed This proposal is a little bit different in that it accepts the reality that there are players in this building, outside this building, that will have a big impact on whether or not we go forward. And I want to involve them. I think it's important to involve them in this discussion. And the charge here is very simple. They must bring forward some recommendations. They don't have to agree with them all. And those recommendations hopefully would have pros and have cons that this assembly would then judge for their merits or their detractings, and move forward next session one way or the other. So I just think it's really important to have that discussion. To me, this is the most important bill we have in this special session because it sets the stage for the real work that will be done in the next regular legislative session.
So from your remarks, Representative, I am to assume that this is your bill.
I'd say I had a small part in it, yes, sir.
Then perhaps this question is directed at you. I see the 40K penciled into line 19 on page 4. My question, excuse me, on Representative Morgan's copy, I see 40K penciled in her elegant handwriting. My copy is blank, Representative. What do you think is an appropriate appropriation to complete this noble work?
Well, sir, I'd yield to staff's opinion on that, frankly. I had anticipated no more than $100,000, but I don't have a set figure. There's a pros and cons about putting a figure in, quite frankly, and I'm open to a discussion by this group in the assembly on that. One hand, you don't want to put a figure in. You can make it come out of our existing budget. Geez, this is a budget crisis, folks. How the heck can we fund something like that? Okay. The other side of the coin is, as you were alluding to, let's make this real. If this is a real task force and people are going to be meeting, there are going to be obvious expenses, we want to make sure we do a bang-up, very credible job that we either pass or shoot down on a credible basis. I guess I would suggest the Dash 1 amendment is one of the amendments was to pencil something in, and I'm in favor of penciling something in, and I yield to staff's recommendation.
Paul?
Mr. Chair, we've talked with fiscal office, and we've estimated that in terms of just expenses and per diem for the travel would probably be around 20, and in terms of additional outreach and staff, probably an additional 20. So the 40 was the number that you saw in Representative Morgan's copy, and that I think would be sufficient, I think, to do the outreach portion of it and the expenses portion of it.
Okay. Well, during this time, obviously, of budget constriction, I don't want to spend any unnecessary dollars, and that means even one. But I am concerned that $40,000 is enough money to get what I think is some very important work done. Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I share your concern, particularly given the fiscal constraints that we are operating under. However, I have seen much less ambitious enterprises in this building funded at a more opulent amount. And particularly given the requirements of travel, and as you know, I am very moved by Representative Butler's interest in having meetings occur on the right side of the mountains. I think we should be cautious in not setting an amount high enough to make sure that the work is done, the product is worthy, and that we're able to accomplish what the bill sets out to do.
I believe that is the correct side of the mountains.
The right side of the mountains.
The exclusive side.
Different is a nice term, too.
Excellence is different. Is there a consensus that this number may be a little bit too low? I mean, I this is off the top of my head. I'm thinking $50,000, and if someone wanted to tell me $100, I wouldn't argue. But I think in this time, and maybe in the articulation of, all right, people are going to have to make sacrifices to be on this, and they will be the dedicated, you know, people that will be willing to dig into their own pocket. Representative Hanson.
Mr. Chair, would there be some mechanism that we could put in that would allow them to go to the e-board, and if the amount
add some extra money and maybe restrict it and have them come to the e-board when they when there's a better sense of what the cost would what the cost will be?
I think they can do that anyway. That's not prohibited if they get into this. It's going to cost something. Representative Morgan.
Well, Representative Johnson.
I would defer.
The, Mr. Chair, I think that we do need to be very conscious of the fiscal situation that we're in. And I think maybe a prudent way to deal with this would be to ask our fellows in the revenue office to put their nimble pencils to work and come up with, a more defined budget and some numbers beside this thing, because I don't know that throwing a bunch of money at it is the answer here, but I'm very sensitive to your point that we want to give them enough money. But I think that the costs here are going to be pretty well known with the number of meetings, and if we can kind of figure out the geographic areas that they'll be in and the cost of moving staff around, that my guess is that LFO could come up with a pretty finite budget for this.
Mr. Chair, follow up. For the sake of moving this thing forward, who knows, we may have more time than we know what to do with, but if there is a reason to move this forward to the floor at our earliest convenience, I would say I'm willing to go with the $40,000 figure as long as we have the understanding that they can come and we'd be encouraged to come to the e-board should there be more expenses to do a credible job. And I have a lot of faith in the e-board and leadership that they would fund that.
Okay. Well, we are just here discussing this for a bill introduction, LC introduction. I'm comfortable either way. I think the importance of the work, the progress they are making, or lack thereof, will determine the e-board's or the body's interest in additional or lack thereof funding for this regard.
Good comment.
Anyone else want to? I see three of our noble LFO. Don't you guys have anything to do? Hey, do you want to say?
Chair and committee members, for the record, Larry Nicewinder, Legislative Fiscal Office. This morning when the bill was up for introduction, this wouldn't normally be a part of the process, so we weren't in here to do this. But when the bill does come back for the hearing to review, we would have a fiscal impact statement for you to review and discuss. And if this were in session, this type of measure probably would get a minimal fiscal impact statement from our office, being that it would probably be less than $50,000. There are questions surrounding the availability of existing committee services staff to help support the committee. There are known per diem costs in here, and those would be costs that legislative revenue would have to incur unless the Legislative Assembly within their budget chose to cover those. So there are some questions still to be resolved relative to what additional appropriation, if any, would be necessary. And as Representative Schrader indicated, the e-board is an option that can be approached when there is more definite information if it's not available today.
Thank you, Larry.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Butler.
I am concerned about the issues of coming back to the e-board. We're in the month of June. We've already talked about in both the House and the Senate of amounts which would be stripped out of the emergency fund in order to balance the current shortfall. And the concerns that I've got relative to the fire season that may be upon us very shortly in the state of Oregon, any feel for the way that the demands may come in a long fire season in the state of Oregon, Larry, against the funds, the diminished amount of funds that the House and the Senate have been talking about?
Chair and committee members, no, we really can't. We know that it's a fairly minimal amount that we have there, and some of the amount that is there is reserved. This is a relatively small amount in terms of that type of an item, though. So another thing that I would mention, I guess it depends on the support for this in terms of how this might be carried out. The plan that is the budget plan, ultimately, depending on the level of reductions that the Legislative Revenue Office takes, may increase or decrease their ability to accommodate some of this work.
Mr. Chair, I don't want to predict doom and gloom, but with two of the states in the western United States suffering the worst fires in their entire history at this particular time, I don't think Oregon's going to be much farther behind. Perhaps, I hope not, but the emergency fund, the amounts that we're talking about, which would be left in the emergency fund, will be woefully short of the amounts which will be needed to take care of the fires and other emergencies. It may get to the point where you don't have any emergency fund to draw on, and if you set aside an amount of $40,000 and find out that you need $100,000 to conduct this auspicious program, then we could, if it's a matter of continuing to figure out new ways to find revenue versus putting out fires, I'll tell you where my vote's going to be.
Well, I would point out to the good representative from the correct side of the mountains that at the rate we're going, we'll still be in special session during the fire season. We can handle that out of general fund issue status. Paul, you had a comment?
Mr. Chair, one of the things we'll do, there was an effort made by the 1989 legislature to have a series of roundtable discussions around the state on the tax system. The product of that was an advisory ballot. It was on the 1990 ballot, the same time Measure 5 was on. What we'll do is look back on the cost of that effort.
Okay,
and that will give us a pretty good historical view of what the office incurred, because that was staffed completely by the legislative revenue office.
And I think historical precedent here is important. Representative Shetterly and I went to the Oregon Business Council. I'm sure you'll remember the afternoon when we elegantly articulated all of these wonderful tax reform structures, and they kind of looked at us. I mean, this is Dick Wrighton types and very committed, experienced individuals that have given a lot to the state over the years, and they kind of rolled their eyes and said, look, boys, the real answer is a rainy day fund. Make it simple. And yet, having said that, I support this legislation. The guy who's talking is a guy who carries around a tax reform proposal on the cover of his daytimer. So the Paul has seen before. Anyway, any other comments on this before I accept a motion for introduction?
One other comment, sir?
Of course.
As we're chatting gaily here, on page 3, when it talks about the president, the speaker, the top few lines, appointing the advisory council, it was certainly my intent that that would be, you know, with some consultation with the majority and minority leaders, so that, again, this would be as real a group of people as possible. The goal would be to make sure that this was a product that everyone had buy-in. If it's only a few people that buy in, of course, it fails. The idea is to have everyone in.
Do you want to put that in?
Yeah, if that's possible, I'd like to put that in. Line 2 and line 5, I guess.
Now, I mean, you've got a line in there that says one member appointed by the minority leader.
I'm talking actually the, was I on the right one? No, I'm on the wrong page. No, I'm on the right page. That's correct. Page 3, line 2, the President, Senate, in consultation with the majority and minority leaders, shall appoint two members. And same thing on line 5, Speaker of the House, in consultation with majority and minority leaders, would appoint.
Fair enough. I the more inclusive it is, I think, the better.
Right.
Any further discussion?
Kurt, would you like to introduce your bill?
Yes, sir. Thank you. I would like to make a motion. We accept LC 55-1 as amended here today for introduction.
Representative Schrader has moved LC 55-1 as amended by the committee for introduction. Any further discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. Any further business to come before the committee? Any predictions as to when we're getting out of here? Seeing no predictions, I will recess the special committee on budget reconciliation.